from the start in the Chinese Grand Prix. BBC News.
This is BBC Radio 4. Now it's time for our new classic serial. It seems that in the world of Woodhouse, only one man can rescue the newly impoverished aristocracy from the austerity of the early 1950s.
And Whistler's mother disputing it now. Highland Prince being pressed now by Whistler's mother on the stand side. And it's Whistler's mother just the leader. Then comes Take It Easy, the drag.
Ring for Jeeves by P.G. Woodhouse, dramatised by Archie Scottney. Starring Joanne Whalley, Rufus Sewell, Glenn Headley and Ian Ogilvy. With Jamie Bamber as Lord Rooster and Martin Jarvis as Jeeves.
Second Highland Prince, and there'll be a photo finish for third and fourth place. But there's no doubt about the winner, Whistler's mother. Whistler's mother, and a very strong race.
Captain! Yeah. Captain Bigger! Woohoo! Is that you?
What? Sorry, Mingoni. Pardon my sweetie. Well, simmer me in prune juice, Mrs. Spotswell. Oh, the memsahib. I thought you were in America.
Well, I just stopped off at this charming old inn for a gin and tonic. Cheers.
I see.
I'm over here from New York for a visit.
I remember you lived in California or one of those places.
Yes, I have a home in Pasadena, in Carmel too, and one in Manhattan, and another in Florida, and another in Maine.
Making five in all?
Six. I was forgetting the one in Oregon.
Six? Well, nice to have a roof over your head, of course.
Sure, but one yearns for something new. I'm thinking of Roaster Abbey. I met Lord Roaster's sister, Lady Carmoyle, in New York. She said her brother might be willing to sell. I'm on my way there now. But what are you doing in England, Captain?
Oh, I thought I'd take a look at the old country, dear lady. Long time since I had a holiday. And you know the old Swahili proverb? All work and no play makes Jack a pay bar pombahu. Amazing how things have changed here. No idle rich, if you know what I mean. Everybody's working.
Extraordinary, isn't it? Lady Carmoyle tells me her husband is a floor walker at Harwich's. And he's a 10th baronet or something.
Staggering, what? Tubby Frobisher and the doc won't believe me when I tell him.
Who?
A couple of pals of mine out in Kuala Lumpur. They'll be astounded. 2 points of light. But I like it. Straight bat, what?
I beg your pardon?
A cricket term, dear lady. You've got to play with a straight bat. Or, let's face it, you don't play with a straight bat, if you see what I mean.
I suppose so. Do sit down, won't you?
Oh, thank you.
Talk to me, Captain Bigger.
Well, there it is, Rory. All 147 rooms of it. I must say, the old pile doesn't look too bad. But then houses like Roaster Abbey often look their best from outside, and half a mile down the drive.
Pile of junk, Moak. Ballet Place looks mouldier every time I see it.
I know. But poor old Bill can't afford to run a castle on a cottage income.
Why doesn't he get a job like the rest of us?
You needn't stick on side just because you're in trade, you old counter-jumper. Bill's big mistake was letting that American woman get away from him.
American woman?
A Mrs. Bessemer, a widow. He met her in Cannes one summer. Fabulously rich, and according to Bill, unimaginably beautiful. It seemed promising for a time. Of course, he was plain Mr. Belfry then, and not my Lord Rooster, which may have made a difference.
The trouble with Bill is he lacks drive. The sort we see so much of at Harwich's. The will to win. Napoleon had it, I have it, Bill hasn't. Oh, well.
What would you say, Rory, if I told you I was hoping to sell the house?
Sell it? You couldn't give it away. Too damp.
It is a bit moist.
I remember saying to Bill once, in the summer, the river is at the bottom of your garden. In the winter, your garden is at the bottom of the river.
Oh, very droll. And I suppose the first thing you'll do is make a crack like that to Mrs. Spotsworth.
Who's Mrs. Spotsworth?
The woman I'm hoping to sell the house to. Another American. Extremely rich. I met her in New York. She's got a craving to have something old and picturesque in England.
Romantic, eh?
Dripping with romance. When she told me that, I immediately started giving her a sales talk. She seemed interested. After all, the Abbey is chock full of historical associations.
And mice.
Well, here's mud in your eye, Captain Bigger.
What?
As you slide down the banister of life, may the splinters never face the wrong way.
Eh? Oh, yes. Cheers. To tell you the truth, dear lady, I'm chasing a foe of the human species. I must say you're looking... a long time since Kenya. Camp among the acacia trees. You, a vision in Jodhpurs.
Chasing a foe of the human species?
He's a blighter of an Epsom bookie. And I'd have caught him if something hadn't gone wrong with my ballet car. They're fixing it now at the garage down the road.
But why are you chasing this bookmaker?
Lowhound did the dirty on me. Chap with a walrus moustache and a patch over his left eye. Honest Patch Perkins, he calls himself. Owes me £3,000, 2 shillings and 6 pence, plus my original fiver. I won it on the Oaks, damn it. But he legged it in his car with me after him. Been pursuing him through the country roads for what seems an eternity. And just as I was on the point of grappling with him, my car broke down. But I'll catch the louse. And when I do... But how have you been all these years, dear lady? And how's your husband? Oh, I'm sorry.
Not at all. You mean have I married again?
Well...
No, I have not married again, though Clifton and Alexis keep advising me to. They are sweet about it.
Clifton, Alexis?
Mr. Bessemer and Mr. Spotsworth, my two previous husbands. Oh. I get them on the Ouija board from time to time. I am intensely interested in psychical research. I am hoping for some enthralling manifestation at this Roaster Abbey.
Well, I'll bet you flush out a spectre or two. They collect in gangs in these old English country houses.
So this Mrs. Spotsworth was leaving for England next day, and we arranged that she was to come and have a look at the place. She should be turning up at any moment.
Does Bill know she's coming?
Not yet, but he'll be only too delighted.
Poor old Bill. He starts at the bottom of the ladder as a mere heir to his Uncle George's earldom, and by pluck and perseverance works his way up till he becomes the Earl himself. And no sooner has he settled the coronet on his head and said to himself, now to whoop it up, than they pull a social revolution out of their hats and snitch practically every penny he's got. Well, here we are, reporting for duty.
Right. I'm going straight in to tell Bill. By the way, don't expect any staff to come out for the bags. You'd better unload them yourself and bring them in.
Mrs. Spotsworth, may I offer you another?
Oh, no, I must be getting going. I can't tell you how delightful it's been meeting you again, Captain Baker.
My dear lady, how Zuri Pendessa, how lovely you are. But no, I must say no more.
Won't you come and see me when I get back to London, Captain? I shall be at the Savoy.
Charmed, dear lady, charmed.
Bye, Captain Bigger. Bye-bye. Bye.
Quahere. Bye. But what would be the use? Humble hunter can't go mixing with wealthy widows. Not cricket. Yes, I hear you, Tubby. Loud and clear. Remember the code. Marnie Pankong Barn Rotfay just about sums it up. Damn it.
Monica, darling!
Jill, my angel.
Oh, my precious Moog. Is it really you? I thought you were in America.
I got back this morning. What are you doing here?
I came to attend to Bill's Irish Terrier. It's sick of a fever. So...
I picked up Rory in London and we motored down.
Bill's out at present. He didn't say anything about expecting you.
My allowance gave up the ghost.
I say!
Ah, here's the merchant prince.
Oh, what have you got in these bags of yours, old girl? Lead? Oh. Ah, what ho.
You remember Jill Wyvern, Rory?
Of course, yes. Jill Wyvern, to be sure.
You haven't a notion who I am, have you?
I wouldn't say that.
I'll help you out. You stayed here one summer. I was just coming out then, and I expect I looked a complete excrescence.
Coming out, the dear old getting ready for the market stage. How it takes one back. Off with the glasses and the teeth braces.
On with things that push you in or push you out, whichever's needed.
What do you know about it?
Oh, I get around in our ladies' foundation department.
Jill, how did you make out? Has it paid off yet?
Paid off?
A man, dear. Did you catch anything worthwhile?
I think he's worthwhile. As a matter of fact, she whom you see before you is none other than the future Countess of Roaster.
You don't mean you and Bill are engaged?
That's right.
Since when?
Some weeks ago.
I'm delighted. I wouldn't have thought Bill had so much sense.
No, Bill was always more of a lad for the buxom, voluptuous type. There was a girl in the Hippodrome chorus. Ouch!
Steady.
Tell me, how did it happen?
Well, he was helping me give a cow a bolus.
A what?
Bolus, medicine. You give it to cows. And before I knew what was happening, he had grabbed my hand and was saying, I say, will you marry me?
How frightfully eloquent. This bolus of which you were speaking, I don't quite follow. You were giving it to a cow, you say?
A sick cow.
Why were you giving boluses to sick cows?
It's my job. I'm the local vet, fully licensed. We're all workers nowadays.
Profoundly true. I'm a son of toil myself.
Rory's at Harridge's.
Really?
Floor walker. In the hosepipe, lawnmower and birdbath department. But there's a rumour going the rounds that hints at promotion to the glass, fancy goods and chinaware. And from there to the ladies' underclothing is but a step.
My hero. But Jill, doesn't your father mind you running about the country giving boluses to cows? Jill's father is chief constable of the county, Rory. I should have thought he would have objected.
Oh, no. We're all working at something.
Hello? Yes, this is Roaster Abbey. No, Lord Roaster is not in at the moment. This is his sister, Lady Carmoil. The number of his car? It's news to me that he's got a car. Jill, you don't know the number of Bill's car, do you?
No. Why are they asking?
Why are you asking? Oh, it's rung off.
Who was it?
Didn't say. Just a voice from the void. You don't think Bill's had an accident?
Heavens, no. He's much too good a driver. But it's always disturbing when people don't give their names. There was a fellow in Harridge's, second in command of the jam sauces and potted meats, who was rung up one night by a mystery voice, and to cut a long story short...
Yes, I will. Save it for after dinner, if there is any dinner.
Oh, there'll be dinner all right. It'll probably melt in the mouth. Bill's got a very good cook called Mrs. Piggott.
A cook these days? I don't believe it. You'll be telling me he's got a housemaid next.
He has. Name of Ellen.
But nobody has a housemaid.
Bill has. And a gardener. And a wonderful butler called Jeeves.
Good heavens. Jeeves? Why does that name ring a bell?
Bertie Wooster. He has a valet named Jeeves. This is probably a brother.
No, it's the same man. Bill has sort of leased him.
How on earth does Bertie get on without him?
I believe Mr. Worcester's away somewhere. Anyhow, Jeeves appeared one day and said he was willing to take office, so Bill grabbed him, of course. He's an absolute treasure.
But does he pay them?
Of course he does. He flings them purses of gold every Saturday morning.
How?
He earns it.
Don't be silly.
No, he's doing some sort of work for the Agricultural Board. He just goes off in his car. He's not very good at figures, so he always takes Jeeves with him.
Well, that's wonderful. I was afraid he might have started backing horses again.
Oh, no. He promised me faithfully he would never bet on a horse again. Well, I must be off on my errand of mercy. I'll see you at dinner. Bye.
Bye, dear.
So, what do you make of this sudden affluence, old girl? Something fishy going on. It's... what's the word?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Begins with in...
influential? Inspirational? Infrared?
Inexplicable. That's it. The whole thing's utterly inexplicable. You don't cut a stupendous dash like this on a salary from the Agricultural Board. I wonder if the old boy's been launching out as a gentleman burglar.
Don't be an idiot.
Well, fellows do, you know. Raffles and so on. What? Oh. Hello? No? Good God. All right. He's out now, but I'll tell him when I see him. Oak, that was the police.
The police?
They want to talk to Bill.
What about?
Didn't say. But they're closing in on him, old girl. They're closing in on him.
Jeeves? I say Jeeves. Hi, Jeeves. Where are you?
You whistled, m'lord.
What? How the dickens did you get over there, Jeeves?
I ran the car into the garage, m'lord, and then made my way to the servants' quarters. If you would hand me your coat.
Oh, thanks. I see you've changed, Jeeves.
I deemed it advisable, m'lord. The red-faced gentleman was not far behind us and may at any moment be calling. Thank you, m'lord. Were he to encounter a butler in a check suit and a false moustache, it is possible that his suspicions might be aroused. I'm glad to see that your lordship has removed that somewhat distinctive tie. Excellent for the race course, but scarcely vogue in private life.
Yes, I've always hated that beastly thing, Jeeves. Shove it away somewhere. And, the jacket.
Very good, my lord. If you would be so good as to remove the moustache.
What?
On your upper lip, my lord, a ginger moustache of the soup strainer type.
Oh, gosh, right. Ow! Oh. Here.
And the eye patch, my lord.
Ah, right.
Thank you, my lord.
Shove them in the old oak coffer, Jeeves. Should prove adequate as a temporary receptacle.
Indeed, my lord.
Wait a minute. What did you mean, Jeeves, the gentleman may at any moment be calling?
I appreciate, my lord, that the thought of a visit from the gentleman who bellowed abuse all the way from Epsom Downs to South Moultonshire is not an agreeable one.
I thought we lost him half an hour ago.
It is possible that he memorised the number of our car, my lord.
Oh, hell's bells, Jeeves. What do I do if he does come racing along here?
I would advise your lordship to assume a nonchalant air and disclaim all knowledge of the matter.
With a light laugh, you mean?
Precisely, my lord.
How did that sound, Jeeves?
Barely adequate, my lord.
More like a death rattle.
Yes, my lord.
I shall need a few rehearsals.
Several, my lord.
You ever seen a jelly hit by a cyclone?
No, my lord.
It quivers, so do I. Dashed ignominious having to leg it like that.
I can readily imagine it, though as your lordship has several times asseverated, you have every intention of paying the gentleman.
Of course I have. I intend to brass up to the last penny. It's a case of... what, Jeeves?
Noblesse oblige, my lord.
Exactly. The honour of the roasters is at stake. But I must have time, dash it, to raise £3,000, 2 and 6.
£3,005, 2 and 6, my lord. Your lordship is forgetting the gentleman's original £5 note. Oh,
so I am. You came away with it in your pocket.
Precisely, my lord, thus bringing the sum total of your obligations to this Captain Bigger to...
Bigger? Was that his name?
Yes, my lord, Captain C.G. Brabazon Bigger, United Rovers Club, Northumberland Avenue, London, WC2. In my capacity as your lordship's clerk, I wrote the name and address on the ticket which he now has in his possession. The note which he handed to me raises your commitments to £3,005... 2 shillings and 6.
Oh, God.
Yes, my lord, not an insignificant sum.
Oh, Jeeves, if this Bigger suddenly blows in here, do you think he'll recognise me?
I fancy not, my lord. The moustache and the patch formed a very effective disguise. Nevertheless, after what has occurred, one's entire turf activities must, I fear, be suspended indefinitely.
You're right. Show up at the Derby tomorrow, and the first person we run into would be this Captain Bigger.
Precisely, my lord.
Oh, if only I'd frozen onto the money we made at Newmarket. You warned me not to let our capital fall too low.
I felt that we were not equipped to incur any heavy risk. That was why I urged your lordship to lay Captain Bigger's second wager off. True, the probability of the double bearing fruit at such odds was not great, but when I saw Whistler's mother pass us on her way to the starting post, I was conscious of a tremor of uneasiness. Those long legs, that powerful rump...
Don't, Jeeves!
Very good, my lord.
Jeeves... If Bigger does catch me bending, could it mean choky?
It is a possibility, my lord.
And who suggested that I should go into business as a silver ring bookie? It was you, Jeeves.
But if your lordship will recall, we had agreed that your lordship's impending marriage made it essential to augment your lordship's income. It was when we reached the T's in the classified trades section of the directory that I suggested turf accountant. It seemed a happy solution of your lordship's difficulties.
We made a lot of money up to Newmarket.
Yes, my lord.
And where is it now?
Where indeed, my lord.
I shouldn't have spent so much doing up the place.
No, my lord, I wonder if I might ask a question.
Yes, Jeeves?
Is Miss Wyvern aware of your lordship's professional connection with the turf?
Oh, I should say not. She thinks I'm employed by the Agricultural Board. She must never learn the truth. Let her discover that I'm actually an incognito bookie, and she would return me to store before I could say what ho. So if she comes asking questions...
You may rely on me, my lord.
I have a lot of heavy brooding to do, Jeeves. Get me a stiffish whiskey and soda.
I will attend to the matter immediately, my lord.
Oh. Heavens, Bill! What on earth's the matter?
Matter? I mean, matter? Anyway, what do you mean, what's the matter? Nothing's the matter. Why do you ask?
You were groaning like a foghorn.
Oh, that. Touch of, I've had rather an exhausting afternoon.
Why? Aren't the crops rotating properly? Or are the pigs going in for smaller families?
My chief problem today concerned, horses.
Have you been betting again?
Me?
You gave me your solemn promise you wouldn't. Oh, Bill, I know people are always talking about bringing off fantastic doubles and winning thousands of pounds, but that sort of thing never really happens.
Yeah.
What did you say?
It happens sometimes. I've heard of cases.
Oh, come clean, Bill. Did you back a loser in the Oaks?
Of course I didn't.
You swear?
I may begin to at any moment.
You didn't back anything?
Certainly not.
Then what's the matter?
I told you.
Oh, poor old thing. Can I get you something?
No, thanks. Jeeves is bringing me a whiskey and soda.
Where do you and he go on these expeditions of yours?
We make the rounds.
Doing what?
Oh, this and that.
I see. Bill, there's guilt written on your every feature. For the last time, what's on your mind?
Not a thing.
You're as carefree as a lark singing in the summer sky?
If anything, rather more so.
Bill, how do you feel about marriage?
Ah, well, I think it's an extraordinarily good egg.
Shall I tell you how I feel about it?
Do.
I feel that unless there is absolute trust between a man and a girl, they're crazy even to think of getting married. A husband and wife ought to tell each other everything. I wouldn't ever dream of keeping anything from you.
I'm not.
You are. A short-sighted mole that's lost its spectacles could see that you're a soul in torment.
Damn it all, don't be such an infernal nosy Parker.
I don't know if you know it, but when you spit on your hands and get down to it, you can be the world's premier louse.
That's a nice thing to say.
And if you want to know what I think, I believe you've gone and got mixed up with some awful female.
You're crazy. Where the dickens could I have met any awful females?
Well, you're always going off in your car, sometimes for a week at a stretch. For all I know, you may have been spending your time festooned with hussies.
I wouldn't so much as look at a hussy if you brought her to me on a plate with watercress round her.
I don't believe you.
Oh, so what was all that about absolute trust? Hmm? Women, my God, what a sex.
Watch it, Roaster. Watch it.
Your whiskey and soda, my lord.
Oh, thank you, Jeeves. Mm.
Sir Roderick and Lady Carmoyle are in the U alley asking to see you.
Good heavens, where did they spring from? I thought she was in America.
They desired me to inform your lordship that they would be glad of a word with you before the arrival of Mrs. Spotsworth.
Before the what of who? Who on earth, Mrs. Spotsworth?
An American lady whose acquaintance her ladyship made in New York, my lord. She is expected here this evening. I gather there's some prospect of Mrs. Spotsworth buying the house.
Buying the house?
Yes, my lord.
This house?
Yes, my lord.
Roaster Abbey, you mean?
Yes, my lord.
You're pulling my leg, Jeeves.
I would not take such a liberty, my lord.
You seriously mean that this refugee from whatever American loony bin it was is actually contemplating paying hard cash for Roaster Abbey?
That was the interpretation which I placed on the remarks of her ladyship, my lord.
Well, I'll be blowed. Is she coming to stay?
So I understood.
Then you might remove the two buckets you put to catch the water under the upper hall skylight. They create a bad impression.
Yes, my lord. I will also place some more drawing pins in the wallpaper. Where would your lordship be thinking of depositing Mrs. Spotsworth?
She'd better have the Queen Elizabeth room. It's the best we've got. We can't give her a bathroom, I'm afraid.
I fear not, my lord.
Still, if she can make do with a shower, she can stand under the upper hall skylight.
If I might suggest, my lord, it may not be judicious to speak in that strain in the hearing of Mrs. Spotsworth.
Yes, Jeeves is right, you poor fish. Oh, Bill, if this comes off, you'll have money enough to buy a farm. I'm sure we'd do well, me as a vet and you with all your expert farming knowledge.
My what?
I think Miss Wyvern is alluding to your wide experience working for the Agricultural Board, my lord.
Oh, yes, of course, the Agricultural Board. Thank you, Jeeves.
Bill, we could start a prize herd. I wonder how much you could get for the place.
Not much, I'm afraid. It's seen better days.
What are you going to ask?
£3,005, 2 shillings and 6p.
What?
Oh, sorry, I was thinking of something else.
But what put an odd sum like that into your head?
I don't know.
The sum in question arose in the course of his lordship's work in connection with his agricultural board duties this afternoon, miss.
Oh.
Your lordship may recall that I observed at the time that it was a peculiar figure.
Oh, so you did, Jeeves. So you did.
If I might suggest it, my lord, I think it would be advisable to proceed to the U alley without further delay. Time is of the essence.
Of course, yes. Are you coming, Jill?
I can't, darling. I have patients to attend to. I've got to go and see the Mannerings Peak, though I don't suppose there's the slightest thing wrong with it. That dog is the worst hypochondriac.
Well, you're coming to dinner, all right?
Of course. Mwah. My mouth's watering already. Bye, darling.
Whew. You saved me there, Jeeves.
I'm happy to have been of service, my lord.
You eat a lot of fish, don't you, Jeeves?
A good deal, my lord.
So Bertie Wooster's often told me. You sail into the sole and sardines like nobody's business, he says. And he attributes your giant intellect to the effects of the phosphorus.
Mr. Wooster has always been gratifyingly appreciative, my lord.
What beats me is why he ever let you go. Did you have a row with him and hand in your portfolio?
Oh, no, my lord. My relations with Mr. Wooster continue uniformly cordial. But circumstances have compelled a temporary separation. Mr. Wooster is attending a school which does not permit its student body to employ gentlemen's personal gentlemen.
A school?
An institution designed to teach the aristocracy to fend for itself, my lord. Mr. Worcester feels it prudent to build for the future, in case the social revolution should set in with even greater severity. Mr. Worcester is actually learning to don his own socks. The course he is taking includes boot cleaning, sock donning, bed making, and primary grade cooking.
Golly.
Yes, Lord. Mr. Worcester doth suffer a sea change into something rich and strange. Would your lordship care for another whiskey and soda before joining Lady Carmoil?
No, we mustn't waste a moment. As you were saying not long ago, time is of the... what, Jeeves?
Essence, my lord.
Essence? You're sure?
Yes, my lord.
Huh. I always thought an essence was a sort of scent. Righto, then. Tally-ho!
Very good, my lord.
So, answer me this. Is there a hope?
You sound like an invalid on a sickbed addressing his doctor.
Rory, I think there may be, Bill.
I don't.
She was nibbling in New York. All that remains now is to administer the final shove. When she arrives, I'll leave you alone together. Give her the old personality.
I will. I'll be like a turtle dove cooing to a, female turtle dove.
You'd better, because I'm expecting a commission.
But look, even on the assumption this woman is weak in the head, I can't see her paying a fortune for Roaster Abbey. To start with, all the farms are gone.
Yeah, that's true. There's only the house and garden.
Well, I was saying to Maud that whereas in the summer months the river is at the bottom of the garden...
Oh, be quiet. I don't see why you shouldn't get £15,000, Bill. Maybe even as much as 20.
Do you really think so?
Of course she doesn't. She's just trying to cheer you up. Very sisterly of her, too.
You've been making a few improvements, I notice, Bill.
Wish I had the money it cost.
You're hard up.
Stony.
And where the dickens do all these butlers, housemaids and cooks come from? I said to Moke I wondered if you'd set up as a gentleman, but that reminds me, old girl, did you tell Bill about the police?
What? Police? What about the police?
Some blighter rang up from the local gendarmerie. The Rosses want to question you.
What do you mean, question me?
Grill you. Give you the third degree. And there was another call, a mystery man who didn't give his name.
He was inquiring about the license number of your car. What's the matter, Bill? You're looking as worried as a prune.
White and shaken, like a martini. That's pretty good. Bill, be frank. Why are you wanted by the police?
I'm not wanted by the police.
Come on, out with it. You're among friends.
Excuse me, my lord. Mrs. Spotsworth is in the drawing room.
Right. Come on then, Bill. Let's go in. It's turtle dove time. Rosalinda, so glad you found your way. It's rather tricky after you leave the main road. My husband, Sir Roderick Carmoil.
What, her?
And this is my brother.
Good heavens, Bill again.
What?
Well, Mr. Belfry and I are old friends. We knew each other in Cannes a few years ago when I was Mrs. Bessemer.
Bessemer?
It was not long after my first husband had passed the veil after a head-on collision with a truck full of beer bottles on the Jericho Turnpike. His name was Clifton Bessemer.
Well, that's fine. Well, not exactly fine, but you'll have all sorts of things to talk about, won't you? But Bill isn't Mr. Belfry now. He's Lord Roaster.
Changed his name. The police are after him and an alias was essential.
Oh, don't be an ass, Rory. He came into the title. You know how it is in England. Our uncle, Lord Roaster, pegged out not long ago, and Bill was his heir. So he shed the Belfry and took on the Roaster.
I see. Well, to me he will always be darling Billikin. How are you, Billikin?
I'm fine, thanks, Rosie.
Rosie? Did you say Rosie?
Mrs. Spotsworth's name is Rosalinda. At Cannes, her friends, even casual acquaintances like myself, called her Rosie.
Oh, ah, quite. Very natural, of course.
Casual acquaintances?
Well, I mean blokes who just knew from meeting you at Cannes and so forth.
What times we had there, Billikin. Do you remember?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Very jolly, the whole thing. Won't you have a drink? Or a sandwich? Or a cigar or something? Nice to welcome you to Roaster Abbey.
It's the most wonderful place I ever saw.
Would you say that? Mouldering old ruin, I call it. Been decaying for centuries.
Rory!
The patina of time. I adore it. And now I'm going to share something very strange. It struck me so strongly when I came in at the front door, I was overcome. I realized that I had been here before.
Oh, there's a sightseer. One of the crowd that used to come during the summer at a bobblehead.
No, no. I didn't mean in my present corporeal envelope. I meant in a previous incarnation. I'm a rotationist, you know.
Ah, yes, I've seen pictures of them, in funny hats.
No, you're thinking of Rotarians. I'm a rotationist, which is quite different. We believe that we are reborn as one of our ancestors every ninth generation.
Ninth? Let me see.
Sure, the mystic ninth house. Of course, you've read the Zendavesta of Zoroaster, Sir Roderick.
I'm afraid not. I'll put it on my library list. By Agatha Christie, isn't it?
Ninth. That seems to make me Lady Barbara, the leading hussy of Charles II's reign.
Wow. I suppose I ought to be asking you about your latest love affair.
I only wish I could remember it. From what I've heard of her, it would make quite a story.
I feel influences. I even hear faint whisperings. How strange it is coming into a house that you last visited 300 years ago. I seem to remember a chapel. There is a chapel here?
Ruined.
I knew it. And a long gallery.
That's right. A duel was fought in it in the 18th century. You can still see the bullet holes in the walls.
And dark stains on the floor, no doubt. This place must be full of ghosts.
Oh, no, don't worry. Nothing like that in Roaster Abbey.
Oh, but I want ghosts. I must have ghosts.
There's what we call the haunted lavatory on the ground floor. Every now and then, when there's nobody near it, the toilet will suddenly flush. And when a death is expected in the family, it just keeps going and going. We don't know if it's a spectre or just a defect in the plumbing.
Probably a poltergeist. But are there no visual manifestations?
I don't think so.
Don't be silly, Rory. Lady Agatha.
Who was Lady Agatha?
The wife of Sir Caradoc the Crusader. She has been seen several times in the ruined chapel.
Fascinating. Now, let me take you to the Long Gallery. Don't tell me where it is. I'll close my eyes. Let me see if I can't find it for myself. It's this way. Ow!
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mrs. Botsworth.
That's okay. And now, I must concentrate. This is a test. Eyes closed. Follow, please, Monica. You too, Billiken. I sense it is this way.
Come on, then. Let's follow her. Bill!
Yes. I'm coming.
Potty! What, Jeeves?
Quite possibly, Sir Roderick.
I'll tell you something. This Mrs. Dogsbody has inherited millions from a platoon of deceased husbands and took advantage of the fact to go right off her onion. Always a mistake, Jeeves. Unearned money. Nothing like having to scratch for a living. I'm twice the man I was since I joined the ranks of the world's workers.
You see eye to eye with the bard, Sir Roderick. 'Tis deeds must win the prize.
Exactly. And speaking of prizes, what about tomorrow?
Tomorrow, sir?
The Derby. Know anything?
It would seem an exceptionally open contest. Monsieur Boussac's voleur is, I understand, the favourite, 15-2, and the price likely to shorten. But the animal is somewhat lightly boned for so gruelling an ordeal. Though we have seen such a handicap overcome, the name of Manor, the 1925 winner, springs to the mind. And Hyperion, another smallish horse, broke the course record previously held by Flying Fox, accomplishing the distance in 2:34.
By Jove, you know your stuff, don't you?
One endeavours to keep au courant in these matters, sir.
Well, old girl, did she find the ruddy gallery?
Yes, after taking us all over the house.
Huh.
She said she lost the influence for a while. Still not bad after 300 years.
What became of Bill?
He disappeared. Went to dress, I suppose.
What sort of state was he in?
Glassy-eyed and starting at sudden noises.
I've another theory. I now attribute his jitteriness to this job with the Agricultural Board. We fellows who aren't used to work have got to learn to husband our strength, if you know what I mean. Hello. Whom have we here?
Oh, are you Ellen?
Yes, m'lady. A gentleman's just come asking to see his lordship. Mr. Jeeves being busy in the dining room, I answered the door and showed him into the morning room.
Who is he?
Captain Bigger, m'lady.
Bigger? Reminds me of that game we used to play when we were kids, Moke. The Bigger family.
Yes, all right, Rory.
Which is Bigger, Mr. Bigger or Mrs. Bigger?
Rory, really?
Mr. Bigger, because he's Father Bigger. That's good, isn't it? Which is Bigger, Mr. Bigger or his old maid aunt?
You're not a child now, you know.
Can you tell me, Ellen?
No, sir.
Ah, perhaps Mrs. Spotsworth can.
I found the long gallery, Sir Roderick.
Three rousing cheers. Do you know which is bigger, Mr. Bigger or his old maid aunt?
I beg your pardon?
Which is bigger, Mr. Bigger or his old maid aunt?
But I don't understand.
The old maid aunt, because whatever happens, she's always bigger.
Pay no attention to him. He's quite harmless. It's just that a Captain Bigger has called. That set him off. He'll be all right in a minute.
Captain Bigger?
There's another one, only it eludes me for the moment. Something about Mr. Bigger and his son.
Tell me, is he a gentleman with a rather red face?
He's a gentleman with a very red face.
How extraordinary.
You know him?
He's an old friend of mine. I knew him when... I don't, of course, believe in coincidence, but there's been some pretty adroit work going on in the spirit world. Monica, would you... Could you possibly invite him to stay?
Why, of course, Rosalinda. Any friend of yours? What a splendid idea.
Oh, thank you. Where is Captain Bigger?
In the morning room, madam.
Will you take me there at once? I must see him.
Yes, madam. This way.
Thank you.
Is this wise, Moke, old girl? Probably some frightful outsider.
He's a friend of Mrs. Spotsworth's. Mm. That's all that matters. Keep her sweet. Oh, Bill. Good news.
What?
Good God, Bill. Tail-coated, white-tied and white-waistcoated. You look like great lovers through the ages. And your hair gleams with strange unguents.
Well, I thought there's...
I get the idea. Impress Mrs. Spotsworth. Bring back memories of the old days at Cannes. But don't ever do it, old boy. If Jill finds out about you and the Spotsworth...
What the devil do you mean? My relations with Mrs. Spotsworth were pure to the last drop.
Of course, old boy.
Do you sell muzzles at Harridge's, Rory?
Muzzles? Oh, rather, in the cats, dogs and domestic pets.
I'm going to buy one for you. Bill, the most wonderful thing has happened.
Hmm?
An old friend of Mrs. Spotsworth's has turned up and I've invited him to stay.
An old friend?
Another old lover, one presumes.
Do stop it, Rory. Can't you understand what a marvellous thing this is, Bill? We've put her under an obligation. Think what a melting mood she'll be in after this.
Moke, you're superb. Who is the fellow?
His name's Bigger. Captain Bigger.
What? What? Captain B-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-
bigger. Master bigger, because he's a little bigger.
I knew I'd get it.
Nectarious gooseberry fool, Bill.
What? Oh, yes. Good old Mrs. Piggott.
You bet.
Anyway, gentlemen, we shall leave you now to your soothing masculine conversation. Come along, Rosalinda. Jill?
Allow me, Mrs. Prosper. Ladies.
Well, thank you, Captain Bing.
Rory, I'd be grateful if you didn't ask the captain if he goes in for racing at all.
What? Oh, right. A port, Captain Bigger?
Mm. Yes, all right.
Do you go in for racing at all, Captain?
What?
It's the Derby dinner tonight. I'll be watching it on the television in the library. All the top owners are coming on to say what they think of their chances tomorrow. Were you at the Oaks this afternoon, by any chance?
Ah, was I at the Oaks? Chang Suak. Yes, sir, I was. And if ever a man got the ruddy sleeve across the belly windpipe, it was me at Epsom this afternoon.
Had a bad day, did you?
Now, look here. Since I came back to the old country, I've got in with a pretty shrewd lot of chaps, fellows who know one end of a horse from the other. And today they advised a double, Lucy Glitters in the 230 and Whistler's Mother for the Oaks. What happened? Lucy Glitters rolled in at 100-6 and Whistler's Mother at 33-1.
You mean your double came off?
Yes, sir.
How much did you have on?
£5 on Lucy Glitters and all to come on Whistler's Mother.
Good God, are you listening to this, Bill? You must have won a fortune.
£3,000.
Well, I'll be...
Coffee, sir?
Did you hear that, Jeeves? Oh, thanks. Captain Bigger won 3,000 quid on the Oaks. A consomme to be whatnot, eh? What?
Indeed, sir. A consummation devoutly to be wished.
Well, whatever.
£3,000 I won, and the bookie did a bolt.
No.
I assure you.
Well, skipped.
Exactly.
I never heard anything so monstrous. Did you ever hear anything so monstrous, Jeeves? Wasn't that the frozen limit, Bill?
Good heavens, Captain. What a terrible thing. Legged it, did he, this bookie?
Popped off like a jackrabbit, with me after him.
I don't wonder you're upset. Scoundrels like that ought not to be at large. What would Shakespeare have called him, Jeeves?
An arrant, rascally, beggarly, lousy knave, my lord.
Yes, the bard put these things so well, Jeeves. A cigar for Captain Bigger.
Thank you, no. I never smoke when I'm after big game.
Big game? Oh, I see. This bookie fellow. You're a white hunter, and now you're hunting white bookies. Rather good, that, Rory.
Dash good, old boy. And now may I get down? I want to watch the Derby dinner.
Oh, excellent idea. Let's all go and watch the Derby dinner. Come along, Captain.
Later. First, I want a word with you, Lord Roaster.
Oh.
Leave it to you, then.
Certainly. Oh, stick around, Jeeves. Polish an ashtray or something. Well. But, tell us more about this bookie of yours, Captain.
I only wish I could meet the rat in Kuala Lumpur. Do you know what happens to a Welsher in Kuala Lumpur, Lord Roaster?
No, I don't believe I do. What does happen to a Welsher in Kuala Lumpur?
We give the blighter 3 days to pay up, then we call on him and give him a revolver.
You don't mean a loaded revolver?
Loaded in all 6 chambers. We look the louse in the eye, we leave the revolver on the table and go off without a word. He understands.
You mean he's expected to... Isn't that a bit drastic?
Code, sir. It's the code. Morale can crumble very easily out there. Drink, women, and unpaid gambling debts. Those are the steps down.
Gambling debts at the bottom. You hear that, Jeeves?
Yes, my lord.
We've got to set an example, we bearers of the white man's burden. A defaulter has his head cut off.
Well, well.
The head is then given to his principal creditor.
Oh, really?
And now, brass tacks, Lord Roaster, about this bookie.
Ah, yes, this bookie.
I memorised the number of his car.
You did?
I then made inquiries of the police, and do you know what they told me? They said that that car number, Lord Roaster, was yours.
Mine?
Yours.
But how could it be mine?
This honest Patch Perkins, as he called himself, must have borrowed it, with or without your permission.
Incredulous.
Incredible, my lord.
Thank you, Jeeves. Incredible. How would I know any honest Patch Perkins?
You don't?
Never heard of him. What does he look like?
He's tall, but your height. Has a ginger moustache and a black patch over his left eye.
No, dash it, that's not possible. Oh, I see what you mean. A black patch over his left eye and a ginger moustache on the, upper lip. No, I thought for a moment...
And a check coat and a crimson tie with blue horseshoes on it.
Good heavens. He must look the most ghastly outsider, eh, Jeeves?
Certainly far from Soigné, my lord.
Very far from Soigné. Oh, by the way, Jeeves, that reminds me, Bertie Wooster told me that you once made some such remark to him, and it gave him the idea for a ballad to be entitled Way Down Upon the Soigné River. Anything ever come of it, do you know?
To hell with it. I'm talking about this bally bookie who was using your car today.
Look, my dear old pursuer of pumas and what have you, obviously what happened was that you got the wrong number, eh, Jeeves?
Yes, my lord.
Are you telling me that I don't know the number of a car that I followed all the way from Epsom Downs to South Moultonshire? It was used today by this honest Patch Perkins and his clerk, and I'm asking you if you lent it to him.
Would I lend my car to a chap in a check suit and a crimson tie, not to mention a black patch and a ginger moustache? The thing's not, what, Jeeves?
Feasible, my lord. Huh. Possibly the gentleman's eyesight needs attention.
Rubbish! I'm born a bigger. I can stand without a tremor in the path of an onrushing rhino. My eyesight is superb.
Forgive me, sir, but I do not believe that rhinoceri are equipped with license plates.
This bookie of yours, Captain, I believe that he'll pay you. I get the impression that he's simply trying to gain time.
I'll give him time.
Might I offer a suggestion, my lord?
Certainly, Jeeves, offer several.
It has occurred to me that it is quite possible that this racecourse character may have substituted for his own license plate... A false one.
By Jove, Jeeves, you've hit it.
And that by some strange coincidence, he selected the number of your lordship's car.
Exactly. That explains the whole thing, doesn't it, Captain?
Hmm.
Of course it does. Jeeves, your bulging brain with its solid foundation of fish has solved what, but for you, would have remained one of those historic mysteries you read about.
I am happy to have given satisfaction, my lord.
You always do, Jeeves. It's what makes you so generally esteemed.
Well, yes, I suppose that might have happened.
More port, Captain.
No, thank you.
Then shall we join the ladies?
I should first like to make a telephone call.
You can do it from the living room.
A private telephone call.
Oh, righto. Jeeves, conduct Captain Bigger to your pantry and unleash him on the instrument.
Very good, my lord. If you would care to follow me, sir.
Hello there, darling. I feel like a shipwrecked mariner sighting a sail.
Oh?
Where is everybody?
Rory and Moke are in the library looking in at the Derby dinner.
And Mrs. Spotsworth?
Rosie has gone to the ruined chapel. I believe she's hoping to get a word with the ghost of Lady Agatha.
Rosie?
I think that is what you call her, is it not?
Why, yes.
And she calls you Billikin. Is she a very old friend?
No. I knew her. Slightly, at Cannes one summer.
Hmm. From what I heard her saying at dinner about moonlight drives and bathing from the Eden Rock, I got the impression that you had been rather intimate.
Good heavens, no. She was just an acquaintance.
I see. Do you remember what I was saying about people not hiding things from each other if they're going to get married?
Yes. Yes, I remember that.
I told you about Percy, didn't I? And Charles, and Squiffy, and Tom, and Blotto. I never dreamed of concealing the fact that I had been engaged before I met you. So why did you hide this Spotsworth from me?
I didn't hide the Spotsworth from you. She just didn't happen to come up. Look, when you're sitting with a girl you love and whispering words of endearment, you can't suddenly say, "Oh, by the way, there was a woman I met in Cannes some years ago, on the subject of whom I would now like to say a few words. Let me tell you about the time we drove to Saint-Tropez."
In the moonlight?
Was it my fault there was a moon? I wasn't consulted. And as for bathing, you talk as if we had the Ruddy Rock to ourselves. It was far otherwise. The water was stiff with exiled grand dukes and dowagers of the most rigid respectability.
I still think it odd you never mentioned her.
No, I don't.
And I think it's still odder that when Jeeves told you this afternoon that a Mrs. Spotsworth was coming here, you just said, "Oh, ah," or something as if you had never heard the name before.
When I knew her in Cannes, her name was Bessemer.
Bessemer?
Bessemer. I've still to learn how all this Spotsworth stuff arose.
Excuse me, my lord, if I may collect the coffee cups.
Yes, come on, Jeeves.
Well, I must be getting along.
You aren't leaving already.
Only to go home and get some things. Moke has asked me to stay the night.
Then full marks for the intelligent female.
You're sure I shan't be in the way?
Of course not.
I'll be back soon.
Women are odd, Jeeves.
Yes, my lord.
You can't tell what they mean when they say things, can you?
Very seldom, my lord.
You're sure I shan't be in the way? Was there a nasty tinkle in her voice when she said that? If no tinkle, fine. But if tinkle, things don't look so good. What's the use of being as pure as the driven snow, Jeeves? Or possibly purer, if girls are going to come tinkling at you.
Indeed, my lord.
The whole trouble with women, Jeeves, is that practically all of them are dotty. Look at Mrs. Spotsworth, wacky to the eyebrows, roosting in a ruined chapel in the hope of seeing Lady Agatha.
Mrs. Spotsworth is interested in spectres, my lord.
She eats them alive. Is that balanced behaviour?
Psychical research frequently has an appeal for the other sex, my lord. Thank you, my lord. Your ladyship?
Jeeves?
Good
heavens, Bill. Why the agony? What's up?
Nothing's up, confound it. Nothing.
Well, there's no need to be stuffy about it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Moke, old thing. I've got a headache.
My poor lamb. What you need is fresh air.
Perhaps I do.
And pleasant society. Ma Spotsworth's in the ruined chapel. Pop along and have a chat with her.
What?
Now, don't be difficult, Bill. Draw her aside and switch on the charm. Have you forgotten what you said about cooing? If you want to sell the house, dash off this minute and coo as you have never cooed before.
Ha! You know, Moke, you're right. Yes, of course. Here I go. My place is at Mrs. Spotsworth's side. Pippity-pip.
I say, Moke, can you speak Spanish?
I don't know. I've never tried. I can speak French with both hands.
There's a Spaniard in there telling us about his horse in his native tongue. I would have been glad to hear his views. Anyway, I want to confer with you about old Bill. Are we alone and unobserved?
Unless there's someone hiding in that dower chest.
There's something up, old girl. Did you notice Bill at dinner? Every time he caught Bigger's eye, he quivered. For some reason, Bigger affects him like an egg whisk. Why? I don't like it, old thing.
Yes. When I told him a Captain Bigger had clocked in, he went a bit greenish.
Looks like this Bigger has got something in old Bill.
But what? Look, it's most likely it's because he's wondering if Mrs. Spotsworth is going to buy the house. In which connection, Rory, you old fathead? Can't you do something to help the thing along? Ever since she arrived, you've been doing nothing but point out Roaster Abbey's defects. Be constructive.
I'll do my best, but I have very little raw material to work with.
Ow! Oh, my yawa jinga!
Hello, Captain, is that you?
Hello. Pardon my Swahili. Oof, ah.
Captain, have you hurt yourself?
It had me a scratch, dear lady. In the darkness, I seem to have tripped over a flower pot. Whoa. Ah, there you are.
Yes, here I am. I've been sitting out here enjoying the moonlight. I was keeping vigil in the ruined chapel, but I wearied of waiting for Lady Agatha to manifest herself. I'm afraid I am somewhat impatient. When in the mood for spectres, I want them hot off the griddle.
Quite. May I sit?
Of course. What a beautiful night it is.
Topple.
The moon. I always think a night when there's a full moon is so much nicer than a night when there's not a full moon.
Oh, rather.
Do you think the breeze is murmuring lullabies to the sleeping flowers?
I regret my inability to inform you on the point.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
I've dropped my pendant. The clasp is so loose.
Well, it must be on the ground somewhere. I'll have a look-see.
I wish you would. It's not valuable. I don't suppose it costs more than $10,000, but it has a sentimental interest. One of my husband's gave it to me. I never can remember which.
Ah, Missouri. Got it.
Oh, have you found it? Thank you ever so much. Will you put it on for me?
What? Oh, allow me. Oh, sorry. Beg your pardon. How does this... there.
Thank you.
It must be jolly to be rich enough to think $10,000 isn't anything to write home about.
Do you think that rich women are happy, Captain Bigger?
All those that I've met, and in my capacity as White Hunter I have met quite a number, seemed pretty bobbish.
They wore the mask.
Eh?
They smiled to hide the ache in their hearts.
Really?
Rich women are so lonely, Captain Bigger.
Are you lonely?
Very, very lonely.
Oh. Oh. I...
Yes?
No. No. Nothing.
How strange our meeting again like this.
Very odd.
A whole world apart for years, and we meet again in an English inn.
It's quite a coincidence.
No, it was destined. Shall I tell you what brought you to that inn?
I wanted a spot of beer.
Fate. Destiny. I beg your pardon?
I was only saying that there is no beer like English beer.
The same fate and destiny that brought us together in Kenya. Do you remember?
Oh, rather.
I had the strangest feeling when I saw you that day on safari that we'd met before. In some... previous existence. I seemed to see us in some dim, prehistoric age. We were clad in skins. You hit me over the head with your club and dragged me by my hair to your cave.
Oh, no. Dash it, I wouldn't do a thing like that. Much as I...
You did it because you loved me. And I...
Hello, 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 hello. Is that you over there, Rosie? I've been looking for you everywhere. When I found you weren't at the ruined chapel, I... Oh... Hello, Bigger.
Hello. Yeah.
I say, Rosie, you're looking especially ring-a-ding in the moonlight.
Why, thank you, Billiken.
Hey, old Nemus Wally. Excuse me. Ow!
Oh, what's got into him?
I really couldn't say, Billiken.
Anyway, I was looking for you to, coo. Coo, you really are Rosie. Reminds me of our nights on the beach at Cannes. And with regard to the Abbey, I can't think of anyone I'd rather have by it than my dear, sweet, Rosie. Coo.
Oh, the code, the blasted code. Curses, syrup. Can't bear the woman I love subjected to his goo. Could breaking his spine in three places help? No, no. I've eaten his meat and drunk his drink, both excellent, especially the roast duck. Makes him immune to assault. The code is rigid on that point.
Oh, good gracious.
Oh, good evening, miss.
You seem upset, Captain Bigger. What's the matter? Have you been bitten by an alligator?
No alligators in England, except, of course, in zoos. No, no, I've been shocked to the very depths of my soul.
By a wombat?
There's no wombats either. No, what shocked me to the very depths was listening to a low-down, fortune-hunting English peer doing his stuff. Lord Roaster, he calls himself. Lord Gigolo, I call him.
I don't understand. Do you mean that Lord Roaster...
No, 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 I must not divulge. One of the rules of my code is that a white man is obliged to shield young, innocent girls from the seamy side of life. So...
Tell me.
Oh, very well. He was making love to Mrs. Spotsworth in the moonlight.
What?
He was cooing to her like a tattledove. After her money, of course, all the same, these effete aristocrats. You know, I remember...
Oh, out of my way!
I say, where are you going? Extraordinary.
Oh, Jeeves, will you bring me a flagon of strong drink? I am athirst.
I have the tray here, sir.
Oh, jolly good. Cheerio. Something for you, Captain?
Whiskey. I need a restorative.
Whiskey? Right. And for you, Mrs. Spotsworth?
Oh, nothing. Thank you, Sir Roderick. On a night like this, moonlight is enough for me. Moonlight and your lovely garden, Billiken.
Oh, yes, nothing like a spot of moonlight, Rosie.
I'll tell you something about that garden in the summer months.
That'll do, man of my dreams.
Ah, no, the garden's terrific. And furthermore, Roaster Abbey contains many an objet d'art calculated to make the connoisseur sit up and say, what ho! Cast an eye on that dower chest, Mrs. Spotsworth.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it is nice, isn't it? Very good, Rory. Mm. Of course, it's an heirloom and can't be sold.
Goes with the house.
It's full of the most wonderful old costumes.
Just go with the house, of course.
Would you like to look at them?
No, no. They're not in there.
Of course they are. They always have been. And I'm sure Rosalinda would enjoy seeing them.
I would indeed. Do open it, Monica.
I will. It isn't locked.
Jeeves.
My lord.
Brandy.
Here, my lord.
Here we are. Some of these costumes are... What? Well, for heaven's sake.
Good lord, Bill, are these yours? Don't tell me you go around in a coat like that. At the time, ye gods, you'd better drop in at Harridge's. See the chap in our haberdashery department. We've got a sale on.
Wait, let me look at that. Give me the coat. What the devil's this? A black eye patch and a ginger moustache. Ha!
A little more, Brandy, my lord.
In part one of Ring for Jeeves by P.G. Woodhouse, Rory was played by Rufus Sewell, Monica by Joanne Whalley, Rosie by Glenn Headley, and Captain Bigger by Ian Ogilvie. Bill was played by Jamie Bamber, and Jeeves by Martin Jarvis. Jill Wyvern, Maura Quirk. Ellen, Daisy Hayden, and the racing commentator, Matthew Wolfe. Ring for Jeeves was dramatised by Archie Scottney, directed by Rosalind Ayres, and is a Jarvis and Ayres production for BBC Radio 4.
And that first part of Ring for Jeeves is repeated next Saturday evening at 9 p.m, and you can hear the second and final part at 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. After the news, books for young feminists and the art of the digested read. Open book with Mariella Frostrup in a couple of minutes.
Jazz has its roots in India because Indian classical music is all about improvisation. And that is exactly what jazz is all about.
To New Orleans, Chicago and Paris, we should add Bombay.
Between the 1930s and 1960s, jazz was huge in India.
Sarfraz Manzoor looks at India's musical legacy.
Long before people like Coltrane and these other guys who were credited with having introduced Indian elements into jazz, Indians were trying to find an Indian way to play jazz.
Bombay Jazz on BBC Radio 4, tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock.